Well, good afternoon and welcome along to another Red Tinted Glasses live podcast over on our YouTube channel. Earlier than usual this week, mainly because we've got a busy social schedule tomorrow. Callum off to see Red Hot Chili Peppers. And if it wasn't for Callum wanting to reschedule, I'd have been missing Rory's sports day. So Callum, thanks very much for you having a busy social schedule. So yeah, we are coming to you Thursday afternoon, 10 days before our first competitive game. Callum, feels weird that we're just 10 days away from the first competitive game of the season.
It's very odd. It seems like we've basically not had much of a break, and I'm sure the players will probably be feeling that more than anyone else, given being put through their paces. But I'm very excited. I'm glad it's been a quick turnaround. Let's just forget about whatever that was last season, and I'm feeling optimistic. I'm excited.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose excitement, optimism is always helped when you win your first game of pre-season, as Aberdeen did when they travelled to Victoria Park to face Bucky on Saturday, a 2-1 win over the Jags with Christian Ramirez bagging from the penalty spot before Matty Kennedy volleying home 2 minutes before time. A really good goal from Matty Kennedy, a player obviously we didn't get to see a lot of last season, but maybe a player we might see more of this season, Callum.
Perhaps, and if he carries on like Benjamin Pavard, then that's absolutely fine. What a finish that was! Right now, it's looking like he will certainly be an option. Probably not going to start too many games, but if he can come on and have impacts like he did, albeit against Bucky Thistle, then hopefully more of the same, and that's okay. If he can stay fit, though, that is the most important thing, because in times he's looked okay, in times he's been absolutely AWOL because he's had such a bad injury record.
Yeah, I was going to say that's kind of maybe a point. You know, I think I put a tweet up on Saturday night saying I was chuffed for Matty Kennedy getting his goal. A player that I thought the way Goodwin spoke about that, about Matty in particular, was a player he saw having a future at the club. Some people maybe seeing it another way. Do you think he does have a future at the club this season? Obviously, you've alluded to him maybe not being a starter, but certainly a player that we can maybe, again, you know, fitness provided, rely on, certainly coming off the bench, giving us that extra option that maybe we didn't have at times last season, especially once Ryan Hedges left.
I think so. I think he probably will be more of a bit part player, and that's absolutely okay. I think if we are going to go on and achieve top three, as Bojan said, then I don't think Matty Kennedy's really the man to get you going for that as one of your key players. But as an option, certainly a natural wide player, very quick, sometimes tricky. It's okay. It's an option we need to have. You're not going to have sort of 20 starter quality players. And he's certainly good enough sort of for the Scottish Premiership for us as a role player.
Yeah, absolutely. Former Don youth player Max Barry did give the home side the lead with a stunning strike. I more enjoyed his shithouse celebration to the bench. I'm sure Jim Goodwin was a bit surprised at that. Maybe some question marks around Tom Ritchie's goalkeeping for that. Maybe taking him by surprise, but let's be honest, we're not going to analyse a pre-season friendly too much. It's all about fitness and building confidence before the season starts. The big takeaway, though, I think, from the weekend's game was the impressive performance of Connor Barron. That clip, Beasties Don on Twitter, I know he comments on our videos on YouTube quite a lot as well, put out a clip of the way Connor won the ball in our own half and then drove forward before playing that ball to Kieran and Gwenya that resulted in the penalty. And again, you know, I stress it's pre-season. With the greatest of respect to Bucky, you've got to remember the opposition, but Connor there just showing that bit of quality that he has and certainly raising the excitement levels ahead of the new season.
Absolutely. I really think he will sort of benefit from a proper full season being sort of one of the main men at Pittodrie. And if he can sort of drive on in performances with performances like that and, you know, build on that as we come up against better and better opposition as we build towards that first game of the league season, then absolutely fantastic. And hopefully he'll be signing that contract as well before then. It would be lovely to see him stick around and continue his development, because I think I've thought of very highly amongst the fans from what we've seen and also from staff around the club from what we don't see behind closed doors too. So one to be excited about, and just a little teaser there, I feel like, from Conor Barron.
Yeah, and I suppose obviously we should mention Kieran Ngwenya maybe getting more minutes than he expected at the weekend due to Jack McKenzie's injury, which we'll come on to in a second. Encouraging to see him do well, and again, now with the injury to Jack, I suppose, has that opportunity to potentially stake a claim in the starting 11, depending what Jim Goodwin sees as Liam Scales' best position.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he's come off the back of a pretty decent loan spell with Kelty Hearts, obviously, finished as League Two champions there. Unfortunate the way it's came about, but he certainly will have more of a chance to stake his claim as that first-choice left-back. I mean, I can't say it's a player I know too much about. I haven't seen him play too much, but certainly highly thought of at Pittodrie. And a young fullback, which is always quite exciting. So he's got a good opportunity now. It's up to him to go and grab it with two hands. And I suppose that'll remain to be seen.
Yeah, I suppose, if things are to believe, we should have a closed-door friendly against St Johnstone, I think, tomorrow over in Spain before we head to Glebe Park to face Brechin City on Wednesday. And then it says it's into that first competitive game against Peterhead. Whether or not Jack will be fit for any of these games remains to be seen. And I suppose obviously we've got Johnny Hayes that can fill in there. But again, you know, getting towards 35, I'm not expecting him to be starting week in, week out. So it'll be interesting, but to see how that develops. But Jack McKenzie picking up quite a serious thigh injury. Serious enough that Mason Hancock's loan to Arbroath seemed to only last a matter of hours. Interesting to see what the future then holds for Mason this season. I suppose, Callum, it's maybe going to be dependent on the seriousness of Jack's injury.
I think so. I'm kind of hoping that this will just be sort of as cover on that sort of left side, whether it's left side centre-back if Scales moves to left-back or filling in at left-back. I'm hoping it's just sort of cover until Jack McKenzie does get fixed. It would be good to see him going out on loan. And Arbroath, I think, would be a very good place for him to develop at a very good level too. And we saw how close they were to seeing that promotion to the Premiership last season. It'll be interesting. I suppose it also depends on maybe some other incomings, which we will get onto later in the show. Make sure to stay tuned.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I do agree. I think Arbroath would be a good fit for him. Hopefully worked out better than the loan that Michael Ruth had at Arbroath. But you're right, it's good to see these guys getting championship minutes and testing themselves at a decent level. Kevin Hunratty, who played at the weekend, has also gone out on loan. He's joined Forfar, the midfielder going out in search of more first-team minutes after spending last season on loan at both Fermartin and Elgin City. Be interesting to see how he gets on there. One big-time departure, though, Callum, was, of course, the departure of Declan Gallagher. Shows how much I know about the change in shirt and number, meaning nothing about him leaving. Mm-hmm. We did discuss it last Friday on the show that I think it was Alan McCarley that raised, did we expect Gallagher to be the one that left? No real surprises then, he has left to join St Mirren?
Not especially, as I said, I think especially once we saw that number change in terms of preferring him to Bates, I probably would rather that Declan Gallagher went out the door. I think struggled with fitness when he did play, wasn't very good, sometimes just didn't look like he even wanted to be. I'm happy, to be honest, to let Declan Gallagher go. Knowing us, we'll probably see him turn back to his form that got him in that Scotland squad and got him performing well for Scotland, but that'd just be absolutely typical. But it's just not happened for him up here, so good to get him out the door, in my opinion. No need for him to be here.
Yeah, Stephen Robinson obviously just trying to build the squad that he had at Motherwell over in Paisley. I'll get your thoughts in a minute on the, you know, decision just to terminate his contract rather than, you know, trying to maybe get a small fee from St Mirren for Declan. But I do feel a bit sorry for Declan, the way things ended up working out. Was part of a very poor performing defence last season. But I think, you know, some of the reaction that I've seen to the departure, you'd think that we were getting rid of Gerald Eiffel and Dave Buss once again. You know, he is better than, certainly not the worst defender I've seen at Aberdeen over the piece. And I think, you know, some of the way people have reacted to his departure has been slightly over the top. But look, Jim Goodwin's clearly showing that ruthless streak in him in terms of improving the squad, and it's good to see that action being taken. But it was certainly raised in a group chat that I'm part of that may be surprised that Aberdeen didn't go in search of a fee. Because, well, we're going to come on to it, I suppose. If you look now at the recruitment that we made last summer, I know we touched on that in our previous episode with Richard Gordon and our end-of-season review. If Christian Ramirez follows out the door this summer, only David Bates will be left from last summer's transfer signings. It really kind of sums up just how bad that recruitment was.
Absolutely. And I mean, even then, you could probably consider him slightly lucky to be here, given how bad our defence was last season. But I think that sort of highlights just how terrible a season all round it was last time out. Thank God we're hopefully getting things right. And I think that sort of adds emphasis to the importance of all of these signings Jim Goodwin is now making, that we do need to get right. We can't afford to be in the exact same place come next season whilst Hearts take in all that money. Dundee United are playing European football, Motherwell as well. We can't get left behind too much. So it's absolutely vital that this summer is not the exact same as the last. Uh-oh, what happened?
The joys of live Wi-Fi, live shows. I think you cut out slightly there. Just making the point there about Jim Goodwin and you know, making that ruthless decision around Declan Gallagher, showing that, you know, we have to make these decisions so that Hearts, you know, being one of those teams, don't take advantage with the money that they've got in.
Yeah. So what I was saying was we can't afford to be left behind too much by them by having another transfer window like last summer and getting rid of these guys that were nothing short of terrible, maybe you could say, and making sure we do get this transfer window right. It's just really important because not only Dundee United playing European football, Motherwell as well, Ross on the up too, we need to get it right. And I'm sure St Johnstone probably won't be as bad this season either.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose on the departure front, as I kind of alluded to slightly around Christian Ramirez, the club putting out in the press that they're open to offers. I don't think that'll come as a surprise to many, given that his family still remain back over in the States in the MLS window for transfers opens. I think it's next Thursday or Friday. So it'll be interesting to see if there's an influx of offers from the States for the American, obviously showing kind of no signs of being distracted by any talk of a move home, as he's slotted away that penalty very nicely at the weekend and is training well with the side. You know, he's posting on his Instagram his training photos as well, so not like he's overly homesick. I'm sure he's enjoying topping up his tan over in Spain. But with, obviously, Bojan Majovski signed up, Callum, will there be a priority to almost get another striker in before we let Christian go, if that is what happens? Or would you like to see Christian stay for this season? I suppose it's kind of that fine balance of playing somebody that benefits us versus keeping somebody that's actually quite unhappy at being here.
Mm-hmm. I think, to be honest, regardless of whether Ramirez stays or goes, another striker might be required, because although we've brought in Bojan, I still think we're maybe like a target man alternative, which I think was what Tobias Lauritsen would have been. And obviously we were after him, and that's with Ramirez still being here. So I think regardless of Ramirez staying or leaving, we could still do with another option. I'd like to see Ramirez stay, and I'd like to see sort of him get back to where he was in sort of the first 6 months of the previous season, because I think it would just leave a better taste in our mouths if it ended the way it is, where last season looked as if sort of didn't want to be here, and then he's still sort of hanging around before eventually gets his move. I like to see him put things right, if not for the fantastic chance, to be honest, they're providing a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree about the better taste. I think if it ends, you know, before the certainly the league opener against Celtic, then it will be quite a better taste in the mouth. And, you know, I think can't be bothered in the comments saying if Ramirez goes, two strikers required. I think, you know, that's something you definitely alluded to, that we definitely need one. And I suppose if certainly someone that bagged as many goals as Christian Ramirez for us last season does disappear, we probably do need two, because as much as there is an expectation on Miovski to hit the ground running, it's an untested environment he's coming into, and we don't want to have probably the same weight of expectation that was on Christian's shoulders at points last season, where when Christian went through his droughts in front of goal, we struggled as a team for goals. So it'd be good to kind of spread that responsibility around the team. I suppose something we're going to come on to later on in the episode, as the title alludes to, will Vinny be the VIP, kind of looking at his role ahead of this season. And then finally, I suppose on the departures, or speculated departures, remains around Lewis Ferguson. Millwall dropped out of the race to sign him, but then jumped back in with a bid in the region of $2 million, which was swiftly rejected by the club. But there remains foreign interest in this midfielder. Do you think the club are right to reject the bid of $2 million, Callum? What kind of figure do you see as being acceptable for Lewis Ferguson just now?
I certainly think $2 million is still a little bit below his value. And I think we'd be very stupid to just take sort of the first half-decent offer we do get for Lewis Ferguson, because he is a very good player. He's still very young, and he's got a lot of potential to grow to be even better. I mean, you saw what happened with John McGinn, taking his time before moving down to England. And now you look at him putting in decent performances every week in the Premier League. I think $2 million is still on the slight side of derisory, perhaps. Anything north of 3, 3.5, though, maybe then you'd be considering it, given sort of at times he looks a little bit, maybe doesn't want to be a kind of thing. But regardless of that, if it's sort of 3, 3.5, you've got to look for add-ons. If it's a Championship club, if there's potential to get promoted like Nottingham Forest, because when they kind of signed for them, didn't even really look like they were near promotion and sort of quality. And then we've managed to get another rumoured $1 million from him. A sell-on clause as well, if he's going to go and have the trajectory of the likes of John McGinn as well, so that if it's a Championship club, they do go and sell him on to the Premier League or wherever it may be, maybe even abroad, if he then moves to England after that. It's important that we do get some sort of benefit from that too, because his stock's not too high right now. Right now, we can't go and demand sort of 5, 6 like maybe he would like to. And maybe at times we might have actually been able to demand given his performances. But if there is sort of future incentives, and so if he does develop and become the player that, you know, it looks like he probably will, then we can still financially benefit.
Yeah, and I suppose the big thing as well is that he's not out of contract until the end of the following season, 2024, I think it is. So the club aren't exactly under pressure to sell Lewis this season, you know, knowing that, you know, say come January, we're going to lose him potentially for nothing if he signed a pre-contract. But I suppose the club will be, you know, keen to avoid a repeat of last year's situation when Lewis turned around and handed in a transfer request, and we all know the kind of fallout that his uncle decided to publicly have around that as well. But I'm sure Lewis, you know, he did turn out to be one of our better players last season. I know a lot of people maybe viewed that he should have won Player of the Year. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't doubt that his commitment will remain despite interest from elsewhere. Looking at the incomings then, Callum, over the weekend, maybe the most surprising incoming, I think, in a position that we discussed again last week, what was needed, a few of you in the comments last week discussing that a goalkeeper was needed. I think we were expecting Kladke in from Ipswich, but instead we got Keller Ross in from Derby County, the Dutchman signing a 2-year deal from the Rams. Another one really that very much went under the radar, but good to see a backup potentially. Or do you view him as maybe being number one next season?
It certainly did go under the radar. I think there's that one tweet from the guy who worked for Talksport that sort of alluded to it, and he said he was expected it to be done, and then little did we know within sort of the next 24 hours it was done. Wish I hadn't seen that tweet, however, given after searching his name, some of the tweets Derby fans were not maybe his biggest fan. However, it was, with a bit more digging, it was sort of he cost them in a massive game and he's never been forgiven since.
Yeah.
So I think it's a decent acquisition. It's a free, first of all. He's still a good age for a goalkeeper, 6'5" as well. And the fact it was free then allows us to go and spend maybe the transfer fee that was being asked for Hladký elsewhere. Yeah. I think regardless of whether he becomes number one or it just pushes Joe Lewis to be better, I think a good signing because he's certainly a better backup to Gary Woods and he's someone that will probably either push Lewis to be even better and get him back to that sort of form that he once was and it seems a distant memory now, or maybe he can replace him. I don't know, but obviously we've got in the notes that he was a product of the PSV Academy. We got rid of one in Funso King Ojo and we've got him back. That seems to be sort of a quota now we need to fill, but clearly there is some sort of quality there, or once upon a time he wouldn't have been in that position. And certainly the Aberdeen Instagram page enjoying posting thirst traps of Kelleroos as well. So it'll provide content if nothing else.
Yeah. I find it funny a couple of points you make, because the first one around the high profile mistake is, I think you're speaking about the playoff final against Aston Villa where John McGinn scores from his mistake. Mm-hmm. And that was the video that was certainly getting sent around WhatsApp when he signed. But I think it's a shame for goalkeepers. Their highlight reel seems to more be mistakes rather than saves that they make. If we think about the highlight reel that we saw of Majovski when he signed, it's all the cracking goals. You never see the cracking saves goalkeepers make. But then also laughing at the reaction you'd said about what Derby fans reacted. I suppose that's what Port Vale fans must be thinking on the signing of Funso when they see the reaction from Aberdeen fans around Funso. But best of luck at Port Vale to Funso there. And I think the other point that I was actually really impressed that you made, you put out on Twitter, was about the fee. Something I hadn't really considered, especially when Ipswich were looking, the rumoured figure I think online was about £100,000. And to get a keeper in that looks a decent backup, if that's what he's going to be, 6'4", I think you said there, tall, commanding of his area, you'll certainly be an imposing figure in between the sticks, more imposing than Gary Woods anyway.
True.
But if that means we can then go get a better striker for, say, because that was certainly a department that we struggled in last season, I would definitely be happy with that rather than not being able to maybe get a better target up front because we had to spend more money on a goalkeeper. I certainly think they'll both push each other on, both Kella and Joe. And it'll be interesting to see who Jim goes with as his number one for next season. And yeah, he certainly likes the action shots because... when I was watching his Red TV interview, for those of you that haven't given it a watch, at the end, it was like he was doing a Love Island clip with a camera, just slow motioning his little smolder down the camera. So it's maybe one that will get a bit of female attention as well. But he speaks highly of the club. Obviously spoke to Graham Shinney, Max Lowe, seems to be good friends with Max Lowe. Max Lowe also saying it's giving him a reason to come back up to Aberdeen to come and visit Kella. Be nice if he fancied coming up and maybe signing as well, especially if Jack McKenzie is going to be out for a long time. But it's good to see that, former players speak so highly of the club that it encourages potential suitors that we're going and investing in, gives them that belief that Aberdeen is the right fit for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose we saw it as well with Jaden Richardson as well, Max Lowe and Scott McKenna as well, both leaving glowing reviews, so that can only be a good thing. But it'll be an interesting one. I just think Kelleroos are definitely an improvement on Gary Woods, so can't really complain too much on that front. And I think in terms of positions, it was certainly one on the list to be strengthened, the goalkeeper, but maybe it wasn't particularly high up the list. I think maybe Joe Lewis might have been okay given an improved defence in front of him, but it'll just certainly push him on to at least be better, or maybe Kelleroos will be better than Joe Lewis. I suppose that remains to be seen, but I do think it will be very interesting to see who Jim Goodwin goes with to start off with. I think probably both of them will get a chance in the Premier Sports group stage games, so that'll be one to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's the comment around Joe Lewis is fair, because I think I was having that discussion with Lewis Payton when he said, you know, we need a new goalkeeper, and because every time Joe Lewis seemed to face a shot last season, we ended up conceding. And, you know, his save statistics did kind of almost reflect that. But I think, as we've discussed endless times last season and probably in the last couple of weeks as well, the defence really didn't help Joe's case, where a lot of the time he was probably left stranded and with very little chance of saving what was getting thrown down on his goal. So an improved defence should hopefully improve Joe's stats, hopefully. Hopefully improve our clean sheet stats, and that'll be a big help from last season. But no, I definitely think the point around money is also a very good and valid point made, Callum. So interesting to see where that money gets spent. See, you do speak sense at times as well.
Very occasionally.
Very. For those that of you that regularly tune in will know how very occasionally, because there have been a lot of new people that have joined since our last live. We are very close now, Callum, to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. We seem to be growing a lot of momentum towards the new season, just like the football club, as more of you join in. So thank you very much. And we hope you do enjoy these live episodes. As we said, we're going to keep them going until the start of the season, then probably revert back to just the weekly releases, preview and reviewing games as well. But, you know, if there's demand for a weekly live, we can maybe look into something around that as well. Certainly maybe what we'll do like last season with the lives that we used to do after midweek encounters as well, because they were certainly well received. But we do appreciate all the support that we do receive, both here on YouTube and, of course, to all of you that are tuning in on audio platforms later on this afternoon or tomorrow. Callum, the club has also been linked. Maybe this is just AFC chat rumours, but obviously they make it onto social media. Chubo Akprom, the striker that was released from Middlesbrough, has been a rumour that's been doing the rounds, but I think it is just that, rumours. Another one, the Press and Journal have come out this morning and saying he isn't on Aberdeen's radar, but a name that was linked is Ado Den Haag fullback Jamal Amofa, yeah. Maybe someone that will be needing to speak to Jim van der Veel again to get the lowdown if things progress there. I suppose it'll be interesting, you know, looking at another defender. I'm not sure that's what we're needing just now. I feel we're maybe needing to look into the midfield and forward roles. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, I absolutely would agree. I think they are definitely more pressing matters. But at the same time, if Jamal Amofa was sort of available and we were interested, at 23 years old, his main position at centre-back, on a free as well, and also on transfer market, apparently his backup positions both being left and right back, having let Declan Gallagher go and, you know, obviously we've got Richardson at right back, then McCrory's the backup, and then we've got made of glass Jack McKenzie at left back as well. I don't know if it would be a bad option. He was a player that I did a little bit of research on, and I'm sure that comes to a surprise to a lot of you. He likes to take a lot of risks and got a lot very lucky in some of the clips I saw, which maybe means that there's a lot of clips that he didn't get so lucky in. But in terms of playing out from the back, he likes to take a risk. He looks quite quick, quite nimble. Not the tallest player, I think just 6 foot. Didn't see him winning a lot of aerial duels, but I mean, maybe one to keep an eye on. If we were to sign him, it's definitely low risk on a free and, you know, potentially high reward. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. But I do think midfielders and strikers definitely more pressing matters with the way we are right now.
Yeah, I'm sure Fitbadadi will be very impressed by your research into those sort of stats. But calling Jack McKenzie made of glass, I'm sure you'll appreciate that if he's tuned in to the show. But I think for me, that is a concern. You know, he had that serious injury last season. I still stand by, I think Stephen Glass rushed him back in that Dundee United game where he then got injured again. But this is another serious injury by all accounts. And for someone so young, it is concerning for him to be picking up these types of injuries. And again, you know, to reiterate the point on Johnny Hayes, he's getting older. You've then got Liam Scales, who obviously can't play in the games against Celtic. And Kieran Ngwenya, yes, he's had the experience out at Kelty, but not had the experience up in the Premiership yet. But, you know, if they're good enough, they're young enough, I suppose you could stand by that comment. But again, it does leave us a bit short with that doubt around Jack McKenzie. Now, whether or not the club put faith in Mason Hancock remains to be seen. Obviously, as we discussed at the beginning of this episode, the loan move to Arbroath has been put on hold, really, I think, until the seriousness of Jack's injury is determined. But do you see the club maybe looking at more of a left-sided defender if that was the route we went down?
I think so. I think that would probably be wise. But I suppose on for right side centre back, you do have David Bates. You've got Anthony Stewart. McCrory can fill in both at right back and at right centre back. And then you've got Jaden Richardson, whereas on the left, as you basically just went through, we are maybe lacking a little bit. But I suppose maybe a Mofa would give sort of that option of versatility for all three. Maybe a jack of all trades, master of sweet all. But we'll see. I don't know. I don't think defender will be high up the priority list right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if we do bring in someone else, even if it's just as cover right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see what developments are made. Developments being made on Conor Ronan seem to be very non-existent after last week. Although Dave Cormack was definitely on the wines on Sunday as he once again took to Twitter because the feel-good times are back. So good to see you back, Mr. Chairman. As he once again got involved in some lighthearted humour with fans, a very innocent tweet putting out, you know, was it sign Conor Ronan, I'll let my gran out her cage. Of course, Cormack jumping straight on that. I'm sure his ego was very much stroked by the amounts of likes and interactions that were being taken on with that tweet. What was your thoughts on Cormack's decisions to respond to that, you know, tagging Stephen Gunn, asking fans to be patient?
Very mixed thoughts. I thought it was pretty funny. It's pretty funny to get involved in that kind of thing. Dave Cormack just strikes me as a very funny man. Whether that's intentional or unintentional, I don't really know. But at the same time, he sort of teased us. And if that's not going to be true, then I'd rather he just didn't do it at all. If we don't go and land Conor Ronan, then it's just going to be very, very frustrating that he got us all excited just for the sake of a little bit of a laugh. And it's just look a bit silly, not very professional. But at the same time, I do quite enjoy how he sometimes gets involved with this sort of the Rowies chat. He's entertaining anyway, but I think he likes it. I think he likes being sort of that centre of attention. And I don't know. It'll just be very, very annoying if we don't go and get Conor Ronan now, given he teased it.
Yeah, I think for me, the unprofessional is probably the way you kind of lean on that. And especially, as you say, if we don't go and get Conor Ronan now, he looks very silly. A few of the boys in the State of Scottish Football chat saying that it might top his sports sound appearance in terms of way of making him look stupid if we don't land Ronan. And, you know, the pictures coming out of Wolves this week was that Conor Ronan has resumed pre-season training with Wolves. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think it'll be one that we might have to wait on. Obviously, Dave Cormack's trying to get the interest of the fans going just now as well. You know, but yeah, I think if we don't go and land Conor, he's gonna come back and bite him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we do sign, then it's even funnier, really, that he just kind of teased it all. But I think there is the potential for it to just be another gaffe in the sort of Dave Cormack handbook. But I suppose we'll see. Interesting that he is involved in training with Wolves. I don't know. It seems to be a saga that is dragging on and on, and I feel like we're not going to get anywhere with it.
Yeah, an interesting comment coming in from Red Yeti. And I think this is probably, you know, a general feeling. I appreciate fan engagement, but the Ronan chat just undermines our negotiation position. And I kind of felt that as well, actually. You know, it maybe puts that little bit of extra pressure on the deal. And he's, you know, following up saying, can't say I'd be happy if I was Gunn Goodwin trying to get it over the line. And I'm probably sure, you know, as much as Goodwin speaks up Dave Cormack in terms of the backing that he's given him already this season, I'm sure he's thinking, put your fucking phone away, man. Like, it's really not helping. And I'm sure Zoe, the PR director, is also thinking that as well. It's, you know, it's giving media the opportunity to go and print stories that bring attention on a deal that may or may not happen. It obviously excites the fans. But I think, yeah, I kind of agree with what Red Yeti is saying. I do appreciate the fan engagement Cormack does like to have on Twitter, but there is a time and place for having that fan engagement. And speaking about signings that haven't happened yet, I don't think is the time and place personally. But yeah, you know, we could, I suppose, just reach out to him and ask him to come on our show and announce the signings, but we'll wait until Zoe arranges that for us ourselves. I'm sure he'll enjoy these comments that we've made about him when that time does come.
I just wish sometimes if he could have still replied to that tweet, but if we did sign Connor Roden, just go back to it and be like, ha, you can let her out now. And that would still be funny, but who knows? We'll see. It's just another saga for Dave Cormack. And God, he'd give us a lot of talk about. Oh, I'll give him that anyway.
Yeah, he's managed to make us fill in 10 minutes that I didn't think we were going to fill in this week, because it has been a quiet week from Aberdeen compared to last. Bojan Miłowski has officially arrived in Spain, joining up with his teammates. Another one for those of you with Red TV, if you haven't caught it, it's a 5-minute chat. Calling an honour to be here. And one response I was really impressed was he was asked if he'd, you know, had any note of Scottish football or followed any Scottish results so far. And, you know, he was very honest and said, no, it's not a league he's ever followed, but he is aware it was a hard physical league. And he has no problems that his game will suit Scottish football, because he said if he didn't feel his game could fit Scottish football, he wouldn't have signed for Aberdeen. And, you know, much like what Jim Goodwin's been doing recently in the media, probably saying the things that fans want to hear, and I'm very much here for that sort of soundbite.
Oh yeah, I'm absolutely lapping up. I was going to say that all of the players so far that I've had the interview have just been like saying exactly the right things about why they want to be here, etc. And I'm absolutely loving it, I won't lie. But it's encouraging, and it's good to see all the players sort of coming across pretty well as well. And also quite like that he was actually honest and didn't just say, oh yeah, Scottish football, love it. Watch it on the TV at home all the time. Which, because he would have just looked stupid. I appreciate the honesty. Yeah. And it's a signing I'm very, very excited about. I'm glad that he's finally joined up with the team in Spain. A good chance to bed in, I think.
Yeah, hopefully we get the visa permit issues sorted and that he can feature against Peterhead. I'm not sure the visa work permit rules on playing a friendly in Spain. Maybe more so when we get back to play Brechin. Obviously, that is a problem that is currently facing Yilber Ramadani, whose passport is being held up. So he has not yet been able to join the team, but obviously he's got his visa and work permit. So we'll join up with the squad in Scotland if he can't make it to Spain. But again, it's a bit of a shame that he's missing out on time spent with the squad over in Spain. And then Anthony Stewart's also had a Red TV interview as well. Again, another one that was a good listen, another short 5-minute one. So if you've got time at the end of the day or you're needing an excuse to have something to watch after this episode, of course, during your tea break or commute, then Anthony Stewart talks highly about, you know, the importance of making this decision to come up north, a change of scenery and try and help Aberdeen reach their targets. But once again, like Keller Rose has done, speaking highly of Jack Grimmer in how much Jack sold the club to him and what it means to play for a club like Aberdeen.
Thanks very much, Jack, for that. I really do appreciate how hard he's been working behind the scenes to get Aberdeen their guys. But certainly just very, very encouraging. One thing I do wish, though, is that for season ticket holders, if they made Red TV interviews and things like that available to everyone, that's one gripe I do have. Because I've not been able to see the full things. I've just been able to watch the clips, which is just a little bit frustrating because I would love to get even more excited. Actually, maybe that's wise that I don't get to see it because I'd just be sent into a frenzy about all of them.
Yeah, for someone like you that's so easily optimistic about everything related to this football club, it probably is for the best. But our focus this episode, for the last part of this episode anyway, is going to be on Vicente Bissauen. Obviously, as the title alludes to, will Vinny be the VIP? He's had a lot of limelight on the club's social media channels this week, of course, having taking over the Instagram feed last night. Unfortunately, your question didn't get answered, Callum. But obviously, as well, a lot of attention on the very good goal he scored in training. Some rocket behind that. And I suppose now that he's, you know, had 6 months in Scottish football, he's got a full pre-season with the squad, he's a bit more familiar with the players around him. How important is Vinny going to be to us this season?
I think he could be absolutely massive. Last season, he was just sort of thrown in there and we sort of expected big things. And for a young kid moving over from Holland to the northeast of Scotland and getting thrown into a completely different league in a team that was performing absolutely awful, I don't think you're going to see many of the benefits of that at all. Whereas potentially now with a team that is sort of being built with purpose, a team that he's going to be a lot more familiar with, I think it could be very, very important. And I've watched that goal about 10 times. It was absolutely gorgeous. I've dedicated my Twitter account. It's now a Vicente Brissauen Stan account. So I really hope that this is the season we see him start to kick on. However, I have sort of problematically been like, oh, I'm going to end up falling in love with him. And in 3 years, he's going to break my heart and leave. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. But I'm very, very excited. Disappointed my question wasn't answered about him being a little muscle boy in the Q&A. But after Callum Rataj spent the whole season asking Christian Ramirez to meet him for a sticky toffee pudding, the fact was Salwyn started speaking about sticky toffee pudding on a whim on Instagram story sent us into meltdown. So maybe that's the next target for a little STP.
Yeah, very interested that that's his favourite pudding, although I do really rate a sticky toffee pudding.
Top tier. I think it's, to be fair, it's top tier for me. So thank you very much, Vicente, for sort of furthering that for me.
What do you have your sticky toffee pudding with, though?
Ice cream. Not a huge custard guy. And I think the sort of the colder the ice cream and the balance of the hot sticky toffee pudding as it actually tends to be. And also it sort of balances the sweetness a little bit, because maybe sometimes it can be a little bit sickly. Then you get the ice cream, which is, you know, sort of tames it down a little bit. That's what I go for, and a dream combination, really.
Yeah, it has to be ice cream. I'm not a custard fan either, but you also have to have a decent amount of sauce on the sticky toffee pudding as well. Yeah. You can't have a dry sticky toffee pudding, and I hate these restaurants that are like really scrimpish on the amount of ice cream you get as well. Sometimes you need a couple of scoops, just because if that sticky toffee pudding is too dry, you need extra ice cream to kind of help along.
The right sauce amount is enough sauce so that even once you're done, there's still some sauce to just enjoy itself.
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. I really want one now.
Yeah, there is chat you never thought you'd be hearing on an Aberdeen podcast. You got Rowies, now you've got sticky toffee pudding. So we know what Vinny's favourite dessert is, Callum. What do you think Vinny's favourite position will be this season? Or, well, I say his favourite position might be different to where Jim Goodwin views him. Do you think we'll see him more out on the wing, or maybe in as a 10 behind Miovski if we don't get another striker and see him in that more advanced role?
I think it will probably depend a lot on who else does come in the door. As you said, as a 10 sort of behind Miovski, I mean, the technical ability there could be absolutely incredible. I do think perhaps, given the way he came onto his right and curled that into the top corner, I would love to see him coming in on that left-hand side. But I suppose that's the benefit of a player like Bissau, and he probably can play all across the three positions behind the striker and do a very, very good job. We saw at times maybe the end product may be lacking, but that'll come with time. He's still very young, more consistency, more experience. And that's bound to happen. I'd like to see him coming in off that left-hand side, though, curling onto that right foot as many times as possible and put one in the top corner. I would just rinse and repeat that, please, Vicente.
Yeah, I suppose if you do play him on that left wing, who do you see as the right winger?
Great point. Marley Watkins, maybe. I don't know. Good ball carrier, I suppose.
Fit enough for 90 minutes, though?
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe that might be another position that we do need to take in. I suppose Conor Clennon, anyone? one.
Well, Matty, this is why Kennedy. I'm thinking Matty Kennedy right now.
Perhaps. I don't know. I think we... It does massively depend on who else we bring in at this stage, because I think Miovski might be that sort of player off the striker if we do bring in another striker, or if Ramirez does stay. It depends on a lot of factors. But regardless, I think he can be absolutely vital this season. And I just hope that we just not just these little clips we see in training, but we can see him kick on, and inevitably we'll all fall in love with him before he breaks our heart.
Yeah, and I suppose when you see the clips of the goals that he scored, the clips of the goals Miovski scored, certainly, well, for someone like you anyway, that gets very easily excited, exciting to think of the partnership those two could have. And I suppose the benefit of Miovski getting over to Spain and, you know, certainly working with the teammates, learning where players like to play balls in behind, and that, even saw the clip, I think the club tweeted, you sent it to me on Instagram. I think you were more impressed that Miovski scored, but I was more impressed with the ball that Dante Bolvara played over the top. Maybe another player that we could see a lot more of this season as well.
I think so. And then same as sort of Vicente, I think he'll benefit from actually having a pre-season, working with the team, probably understanding his role more rather than just being thrown in there and sort of hoping for the best as a young kid. So it'll certainly be interesting, but that ball was absolutely incredible. So I'm playing some golf earlier as well. He seems to be absolutely loving it. He's up for some sort of college award. I think it was like the best sort of college athletes in there in the four main college sports or something like that. Dante Bolvar is up against Chet Holmgren, who's just been drafted second in the NBA and unlucky to not go first.
So there you go. I knew you could get an NBA reference into another episode.
It's high praise. It's certainly high praise. So it'll be interesting. I hope we can see him kick on as well, because if he's got that sort of passing range in him, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. A lot to be excited about, including sticky toffee pudding. We all agree sticky toffee pudding is magic, Red Yeti. And yeah, lots of excited to be on the pitch. Probably still things to be excited off the pitch as well, with I definitely think there's going to be more incomings, and you never know, Conor Barron signing that new contract as well. We definitely hope. As I said, I think there's a pre-season game tomorrow against St Johnstone behind closed doors before the team come back to Scotland. Callum will be back next week, looking back at the Brechin game that takes place at Glebe Park, as we said, next Wednesday before the Dons get their competitive action underway with a trip to Peterhead. So please do join us back on YouTube next Friday, unless Callum, you've got anything in your social calendar that stops us doing next Friday.
Transmit.
Okay, well, we might be back next Thursday then. Do join us. If you are new to the channel, have enjoyed what you've been seeing today, remember to like the video, hit that subscribe button as we close in on 1,000 subscribers. And if you are listening for the first time on an audio platform, be that Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, remember to hit that follow button. Get your notifications on as well to be notified of all new episodes when they are released. And we will catch up with you next week.